Lord, thank you again for your word and just how you work in our lives through it. And I pray that you would just continue to do so now. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, let me read on the front side the passage, Genesis chapter 3, verse 7 through 19. It's been hard to do this third chapter because there's so many different things to cover that I think are essential to understand. So I've tried to break them up. We may finish the chapter next week. I really don't know. So, verse 7 of chapter 3, then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord, from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said, "Where are you?" So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat?" Then the man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I ate." And the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" And the woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all of the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." To the woman he said, "I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." Then to Adam he said, "Because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, 'You shall not eat of it,' cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return." Now go ahead and flip over to the other side, because it's a little more extended explanation is all. Sin breaks everything. This is not a complete list. It's just a representative list that we find in Genesis chapter 3. It kind of skims over the top and just picks things off. It's not, we're going in order, but it's not a verse-by-verse explanation here. We'll do more of that again next week. Sin breaks everything. The first one is our eyes. Our eyes. Notice here it says, the eyes of both of them were opened. Now I know that it's more than just the physical eyeball. We're not talking about that, but how we look at things. Okay, how we see things. And that changed immediately. To me, that was indicative that they died spiritually at that moment. Okay? And here's my explanation here. Adam's sin changed the way we see things. We now see and are tempted by bad things rather than seeing the good that God created. Okay, they immediately they were naked, they didn't know it, it didn't matter either. All the things, they saw good, not bad. They weren't tempted by what they saw. The girls in Paula's class work on a worksheet. Here you go. The girls in the Sunday school work on a worksheet, and they had to give examples of the lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. That's what they were studying. And so Mary was asking about that, and I said, "Well, lust of the eyes isn't necessarily wrong, you know. If you live by that, what you see, then it becomes wrong. Okay, it's." You can enjoy something beautiful, but it's when you're driven by that, you allow that to be the determining factor in your life. But I said one of the examples was looking at a catalog. Well, a little later, I got back from that presidential forum, and Samuel was looking at some kind of little Tykes catalog or something. And he's right there, and he says, "Dad, see this here? I want one of those." I'm like, "Where's Mary? This is exact. A catalog is designed for the lust of the eyes." I mean, that's who was it? Sometime maybe it was it was either Dennis the Menace or what was the guy that just died? All in the Family, the cartoon for years and years and years. He just passed away. Schultz was Peanuts. I think this guy's name is Swartz. Something. Keen, is it? Keen. Anyway, but it's like, I didn't know I needed this till I saw it. That's the idea. It's to give you a sense of dissatisfaction till you have that, and you know that when you get that, it's not that you'll never be dissatisfied again. It'll be when you see the latest, greatest, or something you don't have. But I thought that was just perfect. Okay? It's the way we see things. All of a sudden, I have to have this. Okay? And we see bad rather than good. And when you look at people, you're probably, like me, it's easier to be critical than it is to be the other way around. Look at how here's the 50 things they do well. No, here's the one thing they do terrible. that's what grabs our attention or whatever. So, but their eyes were opened, and now they were open to wrong, to sin in that way. And it was a wrong way. God never wanted that. That was not the intent. The second thing that is indicated here, if I can find, did I eat my marker by accident or something? The second thing that is broken, and it's by implication and they're connected, but our hearts. Our hearts are broken. Because of sin, our hearts are broken. Notice here, they're now evil. They knew that they were naked. It's like the issue was not nakedness, it's how they perceived that. Their heart now translated that into something bad. They understood shame and all that. None of that was there. You don't have shame where there's no sin. Well, now there's sin and there's shame and all this. And notice my statements here. Part of the reason that we see the bad things now is that our hearts are now sinful. We now think bad thoughts, which lead to bad speaking and bad doing. And I use those terms because I wrote this for the younger grades as well, rather than bad behavior or whatever. Here's a couple of verses that kind of back that up. Jeremiah 17:9, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Okay? That happened when Adam sinned. So now we have this evil heart, okay, that looks for sin, that wants to sin, that enjoys sinning. Matthew 15:19, a couple different verses that say this in the different Gospels. Jesus said, "For out of the heart," and you might even want to circle that, "out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies." All of those things that we think are bad, that people that don't know the Word of God will say, "Well, it's the environment that creates that." It's like, well, the environment can influence you. They might show you things that you never would have thought of on your own, maybe, for things. But at the same time, when you sin, sin starts in your heart. Before David ever committed adultery with Bathsheba, he committed it in his heart. Okay? Before Cain killed Abel, which will be to in a little while, Genesis chapter 4, he had already done that in his heart. He didn't all of a sudden kill Abel and like, "What did I do?" No, he intended to do that. Sin starts in the heart. And that shows the desperate need of God because of the wickedness of our hearts. So our hearts, they're now evil. They're not innocent. They're not without sin like Adam and Eve were. Now they're bent to sin. We have a sin nature. We have a carnal or fleshly nature. Questions or comments on the first two? Not hard to understand, is it? That's who we are, right? Number three, this is obvious, it goes to the next level, our actions are broken. One leads to another, kind of, we just mentioned that. Our actions are broken. And notice in your notes I say godless actions. What does it mean to be godless? Ultimately, whatever you do without acknowledging God. It doesn't even have to be outright wickedness. When we think of godlessness, we think of murder and adultery. No, godlessness is simply ignoring God. Now that might lead to those terrible things, but that in and of itself is evil. To say, God, I don't need you. I'm not interested in what you have to say. That's godlessness. Notice, and this I think is pretty profound, that they didn't wait and say, God, we broke this. And we need help, we can't fix it. They sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. Okay? They did. They ignored God to sin, but also then they ignored it. It was a path of ignoring God. Okay, ignore God's command. What does that lead to? It leads to more and more. Every time we sin, it leads us down a path of more rejecting God. They did not factor God in at all. They didn't say, we need to talk to God. They say, hey, we'll fix this. Adam and his wife tried to fix their problems without God. You might want to fix their problems without God. Isn't that what mankind tries to do? Let's change the environment. Let's do more education because education frees people up and all. There was a little bit of banter about that with the six candidates last night. Some of them are better at it than others. You know, we come from a creator and God defines who we are and what we are to do and all that. But here they are. They tried to fix their problems without God. After disobeying God, they left God out altogether. They became godless because they left God out. And that just leads them down a dark path. Number four. Another thing that's broke is our relationship with God is broken. Okay? And we call that spiritual death. And the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. And they died spiritually, immediately, I believe. And what is death?
Separation.
Separation. It's not ceasing to exist. It's separation, right? We've talked about that over and over. Physical death, again, is separation. It's the immaterial part leaving the material part, right? That's what death is. It's not someone ceasing to exist, right? Adam, they heard the voice of God. How does it say it here? Heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and Eve, what? Hid themselves. I mean, not only did they experience the broken relationship, their eyes were open, they knew they were naked and all this, but not only that, but they ran away from God. Isn't that amazing? I mean, Adam at least was interacting in some direct way with God on day six. And Eve as well. God brought her to the man. Wow. And now it's like, uh-oh. You know, hide. Run and hide. Right, exactly, and they couldn't. Instead of fearlessly being with God, as Adam had been before, on day six recorded in chapter 2, Adam and his wife were afraid of God. Adam's sin broke the friendship between man, and I put man as in humans, and God. All right, sin does that today. It still breaks. Some of these you can't change, but some of them to some degree you can because Jesus died for our sins. But guess what? Sin breaks our relationship with God. If we've trusted in Christ as our Savior, we don't get ejected from His family, but it breaks our relationship with Him in a sense that we don't want Him. Sin makes us not want God, makes us afraid of God, makes us avoid God rather than run to God. Number five. This one I had a hard time making sense so that the other teachers can understand it. And I get that. Because there's two parts. 5 and 6, I'll actually put these up here because they go together. I use the same passage even. But number 5 is our words are broken. Okay? Isn't it interesting? Adam, where are you? You know, and I was afraid, and I was naked, and I was afraid, and I hid myself. And he goes, who told you you were naked? Did you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that I commanded you not to eat? And the normal response would be what? It's a yes or no question. Right? We're going to talk about that next week more. God doesn't ask him why he sinned. Because sin is sin, and the reason is irrelevant. He asked me yes or no, did you eat of the tree that I commanded you not to eat? The answer would be
yes.
And his answer was and actually this. He said, the woman that you gave me to eat, and I ate. He immediately uses his words. The last thing Adam had said was, she is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. This is exactly perfect, wonderful. The next thing he says and recorded in the Word of God is, he uses his words to try and fix his problem again in a way that rejects his own responsibility. Look at the notes. Adam used his words to blame God and the woman for his own eating of the fruit. Instead of owning up to the responsibility, Adam used his words to try and get out of trouble. The correct answer to God's question, as we will see next week, is yes. Adam's answer was, well, she and you. Okay? So, all of a sudden, there's that evil heart, and now the words that come out of his mouth are not truth. They're deflective. They're irresponsible. They're sinful. They're pointed to somebody else. And again, the answer wasn't, why did you do this? Because that would be the answer that he gave. He gave a why reason. The answer would be yes. The next one, and it's the same exact passage, but I say this, another thing that sin breaks is our with others. And this is one that, I mean, I hadn't really thought about much. I get it, you know, whatever. But as I thought about this, because I said, you know, it's not just what he says. It's who he says it to and why. Because, again, what did he just say in the scriptures? At the end, he said, this is now, oh, you know, this is wonderful. This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. This is all that I could ever dream. And she shall be called woman because she's taken out a man. She's part of me. And the next thing we have is the very woman, the very creation of God that meets him exactly like no other creation can do. He says, I'll put her second. Because numero uno is in trouble, and so therefore I'm throwing this gal under the bus. Because it'll hopefully get me out of trouble or whatever. Isn't that just profound? She's everything I've ever wanted. She's the cause of my trouble. Well, and I'm saying she's not the cause of his trouble. He's the cause of his trouble. Right. Yeah. And God messed up because That was your idea. She's your idea. Right? But he's willing to sacrifice that. That shows you, I call it his selfish heart. Okay? What is the problem between people? You know, people problems are not a big deal. In fact, you almost never have problems unless there's more than one in a room.
It's all about me.
Yeah. I'm saying, how many people does it take to have people problems? Probably rounding up two, rounding down two. I mean, more makes it even more complicated, but you only need two. And what's the cause of that? Me first. Selfishness. Selfish. I'm first. I'm most important. Adam was there to protect, guard, provide for her, and instead he's like, pfft. It's like, I'll throw you into the bear and run for help.
One of the things that you see here, I mean, this run into, in certain circles, I've run into it a number of times, is the fact that this is where man blames God for sin.
Yeah.
I mean, he definitely...
I think he did.
And he said, you... This thing. Instead of man saying, I'm the fault, God, you created sin because...
Right. And we still do that some today. Because we say, if it wouldn't be like this, God, I wouldn't have gotten mad. If it wouldn't have been like this, it's the circumstance that made me mad. It's like, well, from a God standpoint, In fact, you're 180 degrees wrong. You're pointing the wrong direction. It's not how hard life is because people have honored God being burned at the stake. It's not that. It's you. It's moi. It's, you know, it's the, when you're pointing that one finger, remember growing up, there's the, all those other fingers are pointing back at you, and minus one that should be pointing at you as well. Okay? The devil didn't make you do it. He might have tempted you, but you chose to do it. Okay, kind of. But notice here, here's my explanation here. And I say, this is amazing. The bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh that is named after himself, that Adam was so wonderfully captured by at the end of Genesis 2 is now the target of his blame and his excuse. That shows you what sin does, even in a perfect situation. That's how fast Adam was in a perfect environment. I mean, he wasn't worrying about how to pay the bills at night. He wasn't sick. He didn't know what sickness was. He wasn't dying. He didn't have a sense of, oh, life is getting shorter and shorter. You know, and it's like, wow, I think I'm hungry. Pick, crunch, whatever the case. I mean, and then there, animals are all friendly at this point. Let's go pet some lions. You want to go? Okay. You know what I mean? Nothing. There was nothing, and yet... he sins, and look what it is. It's not the environment. It's not a. It's him. Adam sinned, and instead of admitting it, he turns and becomes the enemy of his wife. He blames the other half of the earth's population. The person that he's supposed to spiritually lead, protect, and guide. And he blames her for his failure. That's what sin does. Okay? The very two people that should be the closest on earth are separated in some ways now because what do you think Eve felt? I mean, we're not told. I have some theories next week I'll go into if we get that far. Yeah, it was just dead. Okay? And my theory is that either during day 7 or right at first part of day 8 is when it happened. And one of my, I'll just throw it out there because maybe you'll remember it easier too, but Eve didn't even have a name till after the fall. I mean, it was that fast. He hadn't even named her yet. Giving her a name. Okay, so it seems to be that quick. It wasn't like years and years. I think it was God came in on day 8 and this had happened already, either during day 7 or on day 8 right away. Okay, number 7. Sin breaks our children. I'm saying that in a very general way because it's the entire process in which we bear and raise our children. Okay? It isn't just that our children are broken. We know that because they got that from us, right? As we understand Adam's sin, right? They inherited it from us, at least part of it, and then they get really good at it on their own. But notice here, God says to Eve, and we're only taking part of this right now because we're missing a lot of the context, and I'll hopefully bring that out next week. So we're only looking at what sin breaks. We're not looking at all the reasons and responses and all that right now. But he says, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. All right? The very area, as we'll see in the next one as well, that Eve has been designed by God to fill, haven't changed. They've only been damaged. They've been cursed. So her area, which area of this is this? Eve had two areas. She's a helper to her husband and mother to the children. Those two areas are there. After the fall, we'll talk about that next week. It doesn't change her responsibilities, it just makes them harder. But pain in childbearing. What is it? Ladies, any of you that have born children, how about birth without pain? And think about it too, 9 months. We're not just talking the actual delivery. Chances are, before the fall, the God's perfect design is that there was no pain in childbearing. In the entire process. It says multiply your conception. I don't know if that means you'll have them faster. It makes it more difficult that way or whatever. And that might be, some argue that it might be a way of speeding up time. You have children faster, you have more people faster, the world kind of speeds up time in that sense. I don't know. But the wife's sin affected her God-designed areas of responsibility. One area is motherhood. Whereas before sin, God intended to make the process of bearing children be without pain and suffering. Now, bearing and raising children was going to be hard because of sin. Being a mommy went from being something joyous to something that brings pain. Now, we're not saying that being a mommy today isn't joyous, but it's a painful joy. Pain-filled joy. Okay? The next one here goes hand in hand with that. And these, to some degree, overlap with a little bit of what we said before. But our marriage, or marriages, how you want to think of it as plural or singular. But what God says to Eve, the woman, before she even had a name, your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. That seems to be, it goes from, and there's two parts of this, she will now try to rule him in some way. And he will be more harsh in ruling over her. Okay? It affects both directions. It's not just her direction against him trying to be his boss when that is not God's design. And he will be the boss in a bossy way. Okay? Both are affected. The two-way relationship. Marriage is broken because of sin. Now, that doesn't make marriage bad any more than it makes children bad. It just makes marriage what? Hard. Right? Because marriage is a funny thing, but it involves how many people again? Two. That's all you need. That's all you need. You know, that broken relationship stuff. You know, and then when you add children, hey, then you got a whole bunch of broken people in the family. Right? Sin made the woman's relationship with her husband difficult. There seems to be a struggle by the woman to push him or lead him, which is not what God designed. As a response, the husband will more harshly lead. And again, that's wrong as well. A husband and wife now struggle to get along. This affects the woman's other God-designed realm, that of being a helper to her husband. Again, it doesn't eliminate that role. It just makes it more difficult because of sin. So sin breaks our marriages. it makes them not work the way God intended. The last two, I'm on number nine now. Okay, number nine. Our work. Now, it's interesting that this is addressed to the man, not the woman. That brings out a lot. We'll bring it out next week. But the woman's realm is not to work. The woman's realm is to help her husband in work, right? It's very specific here. But it becomes harder. God says to Adam, curse is the ground for your sake, and toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. That wasn't true before. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring for you. That wasn't true before either. God allowed new things to grow that would make it more difficult. And you shall eat of the herb of the field. Now, what was he eating before? I'd never really thought about this before. Fruit of the trees, right? That seemed to be growing already. He didn't really have to work. He tended and kept the garden. Like maybe he, you know, long term would prune or whatever, even in a perfect garden, you know, just to make it perfect, you know. But it went from eating fruit that grew on trees that yielded apparently great and much to having to grow his own stuff and eat from that. Seen that? Now that doesn't mean we can't eat of the fruit of the trees, but it's like it's not going to be that easy now. Okay, that's what it looks like. It's going to require you to work the ground, not just pick the fruit. And maybe there wasn't any fruit outside of the Garden of Eden at that time, or whatever. I don't know. You know, maybe that's where it was, and no idea. Or maybe, oh, if you want fruit trees, you're going to have to plant your own. Or whatever, and that would take time, of course. In the sweat of your face, you shall eat bread until you return to the ground. It'll be hard and hot and difficult kind of thing. Adam's sin brought a curse to creation. This curse affected Adam's realm of responsibility, working to provide. It affected him in a different way than it affected Eve. And again, that's where we draw a lot of conclusions about gender roles and responsibilities, even from the way God punished them. He didn't punish Adam in the realm of children, I know directly. He punished him in the area of work. He didn't punish the woman in the area of work. He punished the woman in the area of wifing and mothering, if I could use those terms. Now it is very hard work with lots of difficulties and weeds. Number 10, our health and life. Okay. That makes sense, doesn't it? Till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Adam's sin brought what God had promised and warned, which was death. Spiritual death immediately, but physical death immediately beginning the process of dying, if you will. This includes physical death. Adam and his wife began to die right when he ate the forbidden tree. That means that he started getting older and eventually his body wore out, got sick, and died. Sooner or later, that the process. All people get sick and eventually die because of Adam's sin. Okay? So you have that. It isn't just that, okay, I live till I'm 969 years old. Adam lived a little less than 940-something, I think, or whatever. And then he died. It was, you can imagine, that aches and pains and struggles and all of that till he died. You know, maybe he eventually lost his hearing or his eyesight or, you know, whatever that fading aspect and the unhealth that comes from slowly dying. Okay? But sin breaks that. And every one of us, especially as you get older, you feel, I woke up with a terrible headache this morning. Adam, what were you thinking? kind of idea. That he probably experienced those things too. But all of that, we don't know what life is like without pain and suffering, do we? Even as a little kid or whatever, you get hurt or, you know, you get a cold or the flu or whatever. It's like the experiences of that, or like Ronan or others, like George is in the hospital right now. We don't know what life is like without that. And sin broke on that. And one day God will remove all of that. No sickness, no crying or dying. But we can't even fathom that now, because that's part of our whole life structure. As soon as you're born, you begin dying, they say. That's true. So all of those things are broken. And this is not a complete list. This is just what's kind of represented in Genesis 3. You can probably get into all kinds of details and probably list 500 things that sin breaks. But this is kind of at least an overview. Yeah. Questions or comments? I really felt I had to hit it this way because I would miss something if I didn't. But next week, we will address more chronologically God's response to sin. This is just kind of Adam sinned, and we wanted everyone to understand that because Adam sinned, we're all sinners. That was last week. This week, look, sin breaks everything, kind of the result of sin. Now next week, we're kind of going back into the text verse by verse and saying, what did God do? Why did he talk to Adam and not Eve? Why did he kick Adam out of the garden but not Eve? Did you notice that? You get down there, we didn't read that passage today. You know, all those kind of things. So, but we're going to talk. And why does he say, he says things to the serpent and to Adam that he doesn't say to Eve. It's interesting, you know, kind of the way he approached her. So we're going to break that down in more detail now. But I wanted to go over this because I wanted you to just get that point that sin breaks everything. Sin ruined everything. Okay? All right. Once we pray, if you could, you're welcome to stay in chat and all that, but we're going to steal these. Do we need to... Four of, okay, so we need to steal four of these chairs. So maybe the front. Okay. 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 We may have to grab some of these tables anyway. That's my only point. Otherwise, please stay chat and all that. That's what it's all about. So, all right. So let me pray, and then if you desire, please join us downstairs for a feast. Okay. Lord, thank you again for your word. And Lord, we are aware to a great degree what sin does. We face that every day. We face our sinful hearts every day. We wrestle to say right words every day. Lord, all of these things, our relationship with you, our relationship with others, all of these things are just infected. They're broken. And we thank you, Lord, that Jesus Christ was sent to fix perfectly what was broken in the garden. And Lord, we know that we don't have everything perfectly now. We still have our sinful bodies. We still have our sinful nature, the carnal nature that's there. But we pray, Lord, that you would help us to walk with you. And we thank you, Lord, for Jesus Christ and his payment on the cross and the hope that we have in full salvation when he returns and our bodies are changed in the twinkling of an eye. Thank you for just our church family and all that you do with each and every one as we encourage one another and just love one another. And bless our time downstairs. Lord, I know we'll pray again, but just help us to be an encouragement to the deaf and to the Spanish as we have opportunity. And Lord, just thank you for the privilege of being able to minister beyond our own little circle. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.